Everybody, how are y'all doing tonight? Everybody doing good. Good to be here. And I thought it was fall time until today rolled around and got pretty warm out there today. But anyway, it's going to be getting, I think we've got a few more warm days, but it's going to be getting cooler, back cooler temperatures soon. So we got it coming, that's for sure. It's good to be here tonight. Good to see everybody. And I hope everybody's been having a good week this week. And our midweek prayer meeting service. And just been excited about tonight all day. And so we're here, so we're going to go to meeting here in just a moment. Good to have Brother Jeff back with us, live and in action. And he is back. He's ready to shred that guitar tonight. But let's remember Miss Sharon. She's at home recovering. She's on some medication. And so we will continue to pray for her. And we'll just dive right into our prayer request. Let's remember Diane Ely. Those who know the Elys, talked to Brother Randy Ely the other day, and I've been mentioning Diane having back surgery. It's been postponed, been put off, insurance, shots, different things like that. But she has a scheduled surgery date now. It's going to be next Tuesday at Cobb. She has to be there, I believe, at 10 o'clock a.m. in the morning. That is Tuesday the 29th. And it's a two-part back surgery. Brother C. Lauren, are they doing the second part on Wednesday, the next day, or within that? 31st. So they're going to start the surgery, one part of it, on the 29th, Tuesday, and the 31st, a couple days after that, is when they'll do the other part of it. They're going to be working from the, now it's a back surgery, they're going to be working from the front and the back. And so a lot is going into this. I've heard of some surgeries going in through the front, but not a back surgery going in through the front. So please remember Miss Diane in your prayers concerning this. Recovery time on that's going to be, it's going to take a little while, I'm sure. And Brother Randy taking care of her, and I think, of course, family's coming in and stuff like that. So, Elys, if y'all are watching and listening, we love you guys. We're praying for y'all tonight, and we will be there on Tuesday to pray with you in person. All right, let's remember all the hurricane victims that Helene and Milton has touched, and, of course, all the churches that are helping out to relieve them. Let's remember our children's home. Let's remember our teachers tonight downstairs that are teaching them. And for those who do not know, we do have a girls' class now. We've been having it for a while. Miss Michelle Piotr has been teaching it up here. And they've got accountability for our teenage girls, and I think it's a wonderful thing. So we're very proud of that. I appreciate Miss Michelle teaching the girls. But, of course, Miss Christy and then Brother Brian and or Darlene, Sister Miss Darlene downstairs teaching. Let's remember all of them tonight, all the house parents, all of our young people. We went to the football game last Friday night. A couple of our young guys play over at North Cobb Christian School, and it was homecoming, and so it was a big deal. It was pretty chilly that night, but we won, and Chris Don plays out there, and Alex, I believe Max, I'm not sure if Max still plays or not, but anyway, they were running that football, so they had a good time. But just remember all of them, love them, appreciate them. Let's remember Brother Alan Clayton as he continues to heal. He's back to work this week, light duty, so haven't heard anything from him. Of course, I hadn't reached out to him either, but I've been praying for him. But you continue to remember him in prayer as he's back to work. Jim Jr. waiting on his heel to heal so he can have his foot surgery. So praying for him and Miss Dawn's mother. Remember the Palmers, Brother Leonard, and his weekly immune therapy, Miss Dolores, as she takes care of him, but also her heart conditions that she's maintaining as well. My grandparents, continue to remember them. James and Shirley Townsend, Don and Carla Rich. Miss Carla's brother, Don, in assisted living, Connie Norton, and then Brother Trail just texted me He texted in a prayer request. So he says, Missy Hester, blood cancer, good friends with her and Josh Hester. So he wanted me to mention that. So friends of Brother Trails, remember that in your prayers if you would. Miss, I don't know if I said Connie yet, but Connie, as she continues to recover. Miss Claudia and Brother Harold, our shut-ins, Jimmy and Jenny Clanton, Emily McCrickard, Joyce Manning, those in the services and college such as James Tolan Brown, Kevin Brook, and Jamie Carden. All right. Also, just remember, outreach this Saturday at 10 a.m. for those who would like to participate in that. It's going to be a great time. I got some new church cards made, little church cards. Got some here, there, and there. I only got 100 of them for now. The reason why I did that is because I submitted my order, and I forgot two things I want to put on them. And so pick you up a couple church cards, business cards, so to speak, and check those out. Tell me what you think about them. But it'll be a good outreach on Saturday. Looking forward to that. 10 o'clock here at the church. And then trunk or treat Sunday at 5. And they're going to have a cookout, going to have candy. I put on Facebook a petting zoo. We're going to have three animals. We're going to have two goats and a dog. That's our petting zoo. Oh, I love it. I love it. That sounds funny, doesn't it? But that's Calvary's petting zoo. And it's going to be a good time. We're going to have a hayride. As of right now, I may be driving the hayride. So beware, riders. Beware. I will be on a four-wheeler pulling a trailer. So we may have a little, we may have an off-road experience. Hope not. But anyway, so it's shaping up to be a good Sunday night. So just remember all of those things. And, of course, our shoebox, OCC over here. I'll get that right one day. Doesn't it look pretty over there? We've got a lot of boxes made already. How many boxes have we gotten made already? Over 30, I think. 33 to be exact, huh? All right. 33, and it just seems like everybody's excited over this. And hope you enjoyed the video we showed Sunday. We're going to show that video again soon. It's very touching, very touching. And I want everybody to be able to see it. Children's Home wasn't here. It'd be nice to have some of the children participate in that as well and make some shoe boxes. And so we'll show that video again soon. But just remember all of that. We got Thanksgiving coming up. Got Christmas coming up. Got the New Year coming up. A lot of things coming up. And so just remember all of these things. All right, I'll open up the floor. Maybe someone has a prayer request, a praise song. Oh, okay.
You hear Cassie?
No, I didn't.
She said, I can do it for you.
Oh, I don't know if we want that. No.
I knew you was joking.
All right, we'll remember that. Miss Marianne?
Claudia called me earlier.
Okay.
Ultrasound on her carotid artery.
Okay.
Tomorrow.
Okay.
I think she said 11 o'clock. I'm not sure. Yeah.
Do you know where it's going to be at?
Cobb. Usually she has everything.
Thank you for mentioning that. Miss Claudia, we're praying for you. If she's listening tonight. Someone else may have a request? Oh, wow. Okay.
And they may cause them to hit the person in front of them, but they're, I talked to her today, she said they're very, very sore.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, you know, they told her, but the lady didn't tow the car.
Yes.
They got everything on the dash cam from another couple, but they said she was swaying in between. You know,
My goodness.
I hate that. I hate that highway.
Yeah.
Like Powder Springs.
Mm.
Be on Chapman Highway.
Let's remember this request. Anybody else? All right, I got me a new cup for the pulpit. It says, Stand Strong, Ephesians 6:13. And I'm pointing it out tonight so everybody can see it. But one of the purposes is to let me see it whenever I preach. And the choir to see it when they're singing. And Brother Allen and everybody else, just to stand strong when you're serving the Lord. So it's the little things, you know it? It's the little things. All right, anything else to mention tonight before we pray? All right, well, thank you for coming. Let's have a time of prayer together. Down here at the altar, all those that would like to and are able to. And then Brother Jeff will have a song for us. And then we'll bring the lesson tonight.
This is going to be By and By When the Morning Comes. Dry or dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the way that God would lead us to that blessed promised land. If you'll curse me now, then you'll follow me back. But we'll by and by when the morning comes.
Praise the Lord tonight. Praise the Lord for the by and by. And once we get there, everything will be better. Amen. Won't have to worry about this whole place, this whole world anymore. And all right, if you have your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter number 10, verse 45. Thank you, Brother Jeff, for that song tonight. Appreciate that. Mark chapter number 10, verse number 45 is where we're going to be this evening. And one verse of Scripture as we start the message, the lesson tonight. And I'd like to share something. It's been on our heart today, and started out early this morning walking, and walked a couple miles. And you know, sometimes it's hard to not think about what you're going to teach or preach on. As being a preacher and teacher, it's hard to separate that sometimes, because I'm constantly thinking about what I haven't shared in a while, what I need to share. But this morning I did away with all that. And I just worshiped the Lord on my walk, and had a good prayer time, just listened to some good Christian music, and just allowed myself to absorb for a moment. And just got to thinking about the Lord and some things that He does and how He ministers. And so we're going to be looking at some things along those lines tonight. I do want to bow for a word of prayer, and then we're going to read one verse, and that is verse number 45 out of Mark chapter number 10. Father, we love You tonight. We thank You. We praise You, Lord, for who You are, for what You do. And God, I pray for the next few moments this evening that You would get me out of the way, and I pray for a clear head, a calm heart. Lord, I pray that You'd allow me to rightly divide Your Word and rightly apply Your Word. Holy Spirit, connect it, apply it to the hearts of Your people. Help us be encouraged. We have an encouraging word tonight. And bless everybody that may be watching on Facebook and listening online. We love You tonight, and we thank You. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. And amen. Mark chapter number 10, verse number 45. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life a ransom for many. I want you to notice tonight in verse number 45, that word minister. The word minister here simply means to be a servant. One commentator said that word minister also means that it's through the idea of being a deacon. Just being a servant, serving. And tonight, this verse tells us Jesus came to do two things. He came to serve, and He came to save. He says, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, to be a servant, and to give His life a ransom for many. I'm interested tonight in the serving part of Jesus, His ministry part. While He was here on earth, the 3 to 3.5 years of His ministry. I want to speak a few moments on this subject, the ministry of Jesus. The ministry of Jesus. And with that said, I want to share three ways that Jesus ministered to man then, and how He does it the very same way now. Three ways. He still works in the same way. The same ways that He worked when He was on earth in Bible days is the same way He works now through the Holy Spirit in your life and in my life. Before we get into these three things, I want to give you a little bit of background information on the four Gospels. When it comes to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we have actually four faces that each gospel has to it. And we know that Jesus is the revelation of God's character. And so we see a sight of God through Jesus in each and every gospel. And so the book of Matthew, it pictures that of a lion. And it portrays Christ as king. And so we have that in Matthew. Mark's gospel, the gospel we're in tonight, it gives the picture of an ox. And we know the ox works. The ox is used for plowing and he's working. So the gospel of Mark shows Christ as servant. He is the servant God-man. The gospel of Luke pictures Jesus as man. And it portrays him as Christ, the Son of Man, in the Gospel of Luke. And then the Gospel of John gives the picture of the eagle. And it portrays Christ as the Son of God. I love looking at the Gospels in that light because it helps us better understand each Gospel. So we have Matthew, lion; Mark, the ox; Luke, man; and John, the eagle. Now, since we're looking into Mark's gospel tonight, there's a word that I'm interested in, and it's used 41 times that supports this idea of the ox being the face of Mark's gospel. The ox working, picturing Jesus the worker, Jesus the server, Jesus the servant. There's the word straightway mentioned in Mark's gospel at least 41 times. And the word straightway, it means immediately. Immediately. It's indicative of the business of Jesus. He came here for a purpose. He came here to serve, and he came here to save. And for 3.5 years, minus the years he was a carpenter, that's what he did. Jesus was busy ministering to others. He was busy serving others. He preached. He healed. He counseled. He guided. He provided. He instructed. He performed miracles, and on and on and on we can go. He was just a busy man in the Gospel of Mark. So, if you would, turn to chapter number 1 for a moment as we're still in our introduction here. Chapter number 1, I want you to notice that at least 10 times in Mark chapter number 1, there's the word straightway, immediately, and forthwith used, which implies Jesus being on the move, working, laboring, and ministering. So just hang in there with me tonight. I promise we're going somewhere with this. Mark chapter number 1, look at verse number 10. And straightway, coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." And so verse 10 is the word straightway. And while we're here on verse number 11, something that really spoke to me a while back, I want to just reiterate again. The Bible says, "And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." The Father was pleased with the Son before he performed any miracle. You say, what does that have to do with you and me? It shows the heart of God, how he is pleased with us because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter what we do that's good or what we do that's bad, he loves us. The Bible says that there was a voice from heaven saying, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." That really helped me a while back. Because, you know, we set out to do our very best, and sometimes we fall short. But to know that Jesus, that the Father loves us just equal, as no matter how good we do or how bad we do, I mean, it was just an absolute blessing to me. And so that verse there means something totally different to me nowadays. "And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Before any miracle, before any work, the Father was pleased with the Son. So verse 10 is the word straightway. Jesus begins to be on the move. Verse number 12, there's the word immediately. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. Down in verse number 18, the word straightway again. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. Again, it's showing action in the book of Mark. It's showing busyness in the ministry pertaining to the Lord Jesus and even the disciples. Verse number 20, there's the word straightway again. And straightway he called them. And they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. Verse 21, and they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. So far, Jesus is on the move. Jesus is moving. Jesus is quick. Jesus is working. He's not wasting any time. It's been straightway. It's been immediately. And then in verse number 28, the word immediately again. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. Verse 29, there's the word forthwith. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Verse number 30, the word immediately. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. Verse 31, and he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. Verse number 42, there's the word immediately. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. Verse 43, there's the word forthwith. And he straightly charged him and forthwith sent him away. So we're building our case tonight. We're just saying that the book of Mark portrays that of an ox. The Lord Jesus Christ working and being busy. Again, 10 times the word straightway, immediately, or forthwith was used just in chapter number 1. And so we're noticing all of these things. And Jesus was busy in Mark's gospel touching lives. He, through the Holy Spirit, is still touching lives today. Jesus is still active in ministry today. He is moving. He is working. He is serving. He is saving. The same Jesus then is the same Jesus now, just through the person of the Holy Spirit. He is on the move. He is active. He is working in 2024. He knows what's going on in your life and mine. He knows there's an election coming up. He sees all the politicking going on. You know, he's aware of all of that. He knows what you got going on tomorrow. He knows you need interceding in your life in certain situations next week. He knows what's on your calendar for next year. He knows all of that. He was active then. He's active now. So again, tonight I want to focus on the serving part, the ministering part of Jesus, the ministry of Jesus. Again, three ways Jesus ministered then that he still does today, all here in the book of Mark. Number one, we see Jesus sympathizing. Chapter number 1, verse number 40 through 45, Jesus sympathizing. Notice if you would, let's back up verse number 40. Mark chapter number 1, of course, but verse 40 down through verse 45. Jesus sympathizing. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him or begging him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Notice this, verse 41. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, see thou, say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places. And they came to him from every quarter. Again, here's this leper, and he came to Jesus begging him for a touch, kneeling down. And verse number 44, the Bible says, because this leper came to Jesus that way, Jesus was moved with compassion. Tonight, you can move the heart of God because we have a compassionate God. You can move the heart of Jesus. Jesus' heart is moved from your life and your situation. What you may be going through and encountering, Jesus is moved with compassion. The word compassion here means to feel sympathy. It means to pity or to have the bowels yearn. So Jesus, when he seen this leper and he came to him begging for a touch, the bowels of Jesus, his heart was moved. It was yearning with compassion. He had pity upon this leper. He felt sympathy for this leper. Jesus was moved with compassion because of the man's condition. Verse number 40, and there came a leper to him. Because of his leprosy, and this man coming to him because of his leprosy, wanting a touch, Jesus had compassion on him because of his condition. But Jesus had compassion on this leper because of his cry. Verse 40 again. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, begging him, kneeling down to him, saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. This leper, in essence, was saying, Jesus, please. I've lived with this disease for so long. I'm exiled from the community, and I have to say unclean at a certain distance from the community and the people. It's a miserable way of living. Lord, I'm bound by this disease. Lord, please touch me. Please cleanse me. Please heal me. The Bible says in verse number 41, and Jesus was moved with compassion. And then we see the man's cure in verse number 41 and 42. Immediately the leprosy departed from him. And so we know tonight, as we look at this story, that Jesus sympathizes. Not only he sympathized with them and people in the Bible days, he was moved with compassion, but he sympathizes with us today. I love what Hebrews 4:15 says. It says, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne room of grace, that we may find mercy and may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What are you going through tonight? What's on your calendar? Are you stressed? Are you discouraged? Are you weary in the way? Guess what? Part of the active ministry of Jesus is having sympathy. He sympathizes and he empathizes with you and with me. And because of that, let us come boldly, let us come confidently into our prayer closet, into our prayer time, our prayer space, and ask God, please have mercy on me today. God, you know what I'm up against this morning. God, you know what I'm up against tomorrow. Lord, you know what my family's going through. God, you know what the responsibilities that have to be met. God, this disease has come, or I got this phone call. The doctors say that there's no use. God, please have sympathy. Please have mercy. I want to say that in Psalm, don't turn there, Psalm 103, verse 13, I love this verse. It says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. God pities us tonight. He sympathizes with us tonight. Now, when a lost person that's over their head in sin, which leprosy is a picture of sin, and they're bound by their sin, and they're overtaken in their sin, they're lost and separated from God. When they come to Christ, He has compassion on them and saves them and sets them free. But when a saved person is overwhelmed by life and is struggling, and we come to Him, He has compassion. I just read you the verse about the father that pities his children. And so He has compassion on the lost, and He saves them, and He has compassion on the saved because we're His children. What a blessing that is tonight. Listen, if you can't draw strength from anywhere else to keep going on, draw strength from this, that Jesus is active in ministry. He is moving. He is working. And Mark pinned it down just like this as the Holy Spirit wanted him to. He is moving straightway, immediately, forthwith. Guess what? In your life, straightway, forthwith, immediately, He is working. He is moving. All you got to do is ask Him. Lean on Him. Cry out to Him. So the Lord this evening, He is sympathizing. He's a sympathetic Savior. And I'm glad for that tonight. I want to mention a second part of His ministry. Not only Jesus sympathizing, but Jesus seeing. Chapter number 2. Jesus seeing. Verse number 1 of chapter 2. And again He entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that He was in the house. Jesus was in the house. Everybody knew it. You know, I want that to be said about Calvary here. I want us to experience Jesus in the house, don't you? I mean, people were saying it in the community. It was noise that He was in the house. It was evident Jesus was working there. I want it to be noised about that Jesus is in the house. Verse 2, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. Not even standing room. You couldn't get in there. And He preached the word unto them. What a picture. Jesus in the house preaching, and it was a full house. Nobody could even get in there. Verse 3, and they come unto Him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto Him for the press, they uncovered the roof where He was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Look at this, verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, He said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now, I want you to notice that this part of Jesus' ministry has to do with Jesus being able to see our faith. He can see faith. Jesus, you know what gets Jesus' attention? Faith exercised in Him. That gets Jesus' attention. That's also a challenge for us, isn't it? To know that Jesus recognizes faith. Number one, He recognizes those that belong to Him. But He recognizes those who are exercising faith in Him. And so if I'm in a challenge and I want to get Jesus' attention, what do? I trust and believe in Him. Because Jesus recognizes faith. He says again in verse number 5, when Jesus saw their faith. And so we see Jesus seeing. This is part of His, not only was part of His ministry in Bible days, but it's part of His ministry today. You say, give me a New Testament verse. Well, this is New Testament, but I will give you a verse. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to believe Him. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder to those who diligently seek Him. If you're in a fix tonight, if you're in a jam tonight, I want to tell you, Jesus, He is in the house. And He has an active ministry. And He is looking for those who are willing to trust Him and believe in Him for things not yet seen. Will you trust in Him tonight? Will you? It's easier said than done. Easier preached than lived. But at the end of the day, when we're at wit's end and we don't know what to do, trust in Him. Trust in Him. Even if you got to hold the Bible and cry over it, cradle up in your prayer closet and just cry and say, Lord, I don't have the strength to even read your word. But you say, Lord, that if I trust in you, Lord, you will direct my steps. And so, God, I'm trusting in you. Lord, you said you saw their faith, Lord. Oh, God, I'm going through a situation. But, God, I trust you because of what you have done. But I'm believing in you for the future because of what you can do. And so, Lord, I trust in you. I trust in you. And according to our story tonight, and according to Hebrews 11:6, he sees that. He sees it. Listen, it is hard to grow up spiritually, isn't it? It takes years to grow up spiritually. I mean, I'm only, I think, 21 spiritually. Some of y'all are much older than that spiritually, and you could say that you have been through some stuff in your life, that the only way that you can learn it is by experience. But you've read God's Word, and you believe God's Word, but God set up a situation where you would have to absolutely take Him at His Word. Amen? Everybody in here, I'm sure, could testify of that. But there is just no, I mean, listen, we just got to learn it. We've got to experience it. We've got to live it. And I'll say, I may be 21 years old-ish in my Christian walk, but it's a full 21 years old, I'll say. I'm every bit of 21 years old, and I say that humbly. I'm not saying that proudly, because every lesson I've learned, listen, I've learned some stuff in seminary. I've learned some stuff by reading, but I've learned some stuff in life by walking, and I'm still learning, and I will forever learn. But what a blessing it is to know that Jesus is near, and He sees our faith. He even sees the lack of our faith. He even sees a mixture of the both. Remember the man that said, Lord, I believe, help mine unbelief? Remember that? And so there's all kinds of scenarios. I want you to notice this about this story. There are three things that took place here. And there's three words I want to use. Verse number three, we see the word dedicated. And they come unto Him, bringing one sick of the palsy. I don't know if these men were out looking for sick people to bring to Jesus. I don't know if they just came across this sick man during the course of their day. But whatever happened and how the events unfolded, they were dedicated to bring this sick guy to church. Can I say that there, Jesus sees our dedication. Every person that you share Jesus with, every person you invite to church, every person that you try to help in your family or a friend or in the community, He sees your dedication. He sees your faith there. These men were dedicated. And I want to say that's what we're trying to do here at the church. Of course, privately we're dedicated and we want to be more dedicated, but publicly, I mean, we're going Saturday out to the soccer field. And we're looking for the sick. We're looking for those who are lost and undone, who have spiritual leprosy, those who are living in darkness. That's who we're looking for. And we want to bring them to the house of God. Why? Because Jesus, scripturally, is in the house. Because we're together. We want to bring, who can you bring to the house, to Jesus? Who can you bring to the house of God to meet the Jesus that's in the house? Who is it? Is it a friend? A relative? Jesus, and listen, there may have been people we've reached out to that says, no, I won't go to church, or no, I don't want to hear the gospel. Maybe a family member, maybe a friend, and they've been shunning the gospel, or they may be away from God. Maybe somebody that's already saved. They're just away from God. And you've been praying for them, wanting to get back in step with God, wanting to get back to church. Continue to be dedicated. The Bible says, and they come unto Him, bringing one sick of the palsy. They got this man out of the house and brought him to church. Jesus sees our dedication. God bless. Listen, I am so hung up tonight on the word effort. I'm so convinced that God blesses effort, I'm willing to sign my name on a blank piece of paper to something. I may not see it right now. There may not be any indication it'll come to pass, but scripturally and within the economy of God and principles of the Lord, the law of sowing and reaping, he that soweth bountifully will reap bountifully. You'll reap what you sow, you'll reap more than you sow, and you'll reap later than you sow. So what they've denied Jesus? So what they're not coming to church? So what they're out of the will of God? Keep being dedicated and keep reaching out to them, because Jesus sees that dedication. It's all about what Jesus sees. You see, and I can fall into this category if I'm not careful. Sometimes I care about what man sees. What does this one think? What does that one think? Well, am I further along in ministry than I was a year ago? And what about this? And what about that? And I start blah, 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 blah. And my mind gets boggled. And before I know it, I'm stressed and I have anxiety. And the devil even gets on my shoulder and says, you ain't making a difference at that church. So you know, Brother Celon, the conclusion I've come to is I'm just going to look at things through my spiritual lens. I'm going to compare spiritual things with spiritual things. Listen, I'm going to compare, and I'm going to take note of the fact that Jesus sees my faith. He blesses your faith. He blesses our effort. And so I'm going to keep going wide open to the day I die. That's my prayer. That's my plan. And as long as God gives strength to me, that's what I'm going to do. It doesn't matter if I don't see anything transpire. And I'm talking about not just at church, but at home, at, you know, Lily in the school and college and Christy and her job and our family and all these things. Got to keep going. Be dedicated. The Lord, the Bible says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. God is never, he is never late. He's always on time. The Bible says in Hebrews that he has not forgot about your work and labor of love, that you have ministered to the saints and you still minister to the saints and all those things. God knows about it. So we see the dedicated in verse number 3. But then in verse number 4, let's go a step further. We see the determined. The determined. There is a difference. They're cousins, but there is a difference. Look at verse number 4. They got to church. They just couldn't get in. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press. Now, a lot of people would have did a U-turn in the parking lot because they couldn't find a parking spot and went back home. Okay, we don't have that problem here, finding parking spots, and that's okay. I'm glad there's plenty of room for everybody. It just means that we got a lot of people that's going to be coming. All right? But a lot of people would have turned around in the parking lot and went home or, you know, blah, blah, blah. The Bible says they uncovered the roof. They broke in. They broke in. Where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. They were determined. They were determined. Listen, they got the man out of the house. They got him to church but couldn't get in. But they were so confident if they could get them to Jesus, Jesus would heal them. And so they had a determination because of their belief in Jesus. They broke in the church. Listen, not only let us have a dedication and God sees that, but God also sees, the Lord sees our determination. Our determination. You say, what would be the difference between dedication and determination? Well, it can be defined differently for different people. I'm dedicated to my job here at the church as pastor. I'm dedicated to it. I'm going to be here. I'm going to do the job. But how good, how well it goes or not goes is determined upon my determination, what I put into it. You see what I'm saying? There's a lot of people who show up for work and go through the motions. draw a paycheck and go home. And I understand that. Okay? But there's a difference here. They were dedicated, but they were determined. They didn't let this be an interference to getting in the church. So many things happen to us in life. And, you know, somebody hurts our feelings. We get crossed up with a family member. Something happens in church somewhere. You know, the church isn't packed out on the pastor's first Sunday. The choir isn't packed out. I've been working with the choir. You know, visitation isn't packed out. Well, I'm just going to quit. I'm not going to sing in the choir. I'm not going to visitation. I'm not going to go to church. I'm not going to pastor. None of it. Listen, we've got to be determined. And don't let nothing set you back. You may have to break through some things. Sometimes there's some things we have to break through in life. These men broke through the top of the church, literally. What is it that may be hindering you from fully enjoying the Lord's presence or seeing Him actively work in your life? Is there anything there? There just may be a lack of determination, or you may be determined. And if you are, God sees that. God sees that every service you come to, God sees it. Every ounce of energy, God sees it. Ladies, I seen some of y'all this morning over here. I mean, this morning. Tonight over here for a few moments before church. God sees that determination. Why are y'all doing that? You know, I'm asking facetiously, sarcastically. It's a rhetorical question. I know why you're doing it. You want to see little kids get saved, and you want to bless them at Christmas time. And so that shows determination. All of them gift boxes, all those toys. Someone that's just dedicated don't do that. You got to be determined to do that. You got to go to Walmart. You got to go to the school supply section of Walmart. You got to go to the toy department. You got to go to the clothes. You may have to go to some other stores. That takes determination. What we've been doing here at the church has taken determination. We've got a repainted sanctuary. We have two beautiful big screens on the wall. I mean, we have a beautiful foyer hallway furniture. You say that's just, you know, material stuff. It is, but it's God's house. It's not showing that the staff here and the congregants here is just dedicated, but we're determined. We want to not only upgrade the church, but we want to reach out to the community. We don't just want to look pretty. We want to work hard. We want God to see our effort. We want to leave something behind for our young people. We have young people here that serving now. And there's going to come a day where your mantle is going to fall off. And one of these young people need to pick up that mantle. That's what I'm trying to do, is carry on the mantle that's been here for all these years. Brother Ben, Brother Snyder, whoever else, that mantle fell to me. That's a heavy mantle. Mantle, not heavy metal. That's a heavy mantle. But guess what? God don't expect me to carry that mantle myself. He enables me to carry. He enables you to carry on that mantle as a parent or a grandparent or great-grandparent, a friend, a relative. We just got to keep it going. And it's not just being dedicated, coming to church, but it's being determined. Let's see something happen here. Let's see something happen in our homes. Now, there's a third thing here. Not only they were dedicated, they were determined, but I see somebody that was dependable. Verse number five. Verse three, they brought the sick one to the church. Verse four, they broke in the church. Verse number five, Jesus saw their faith. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." And you follow out the story. It's an amazing story, what happens there and what transpires. God touches him. But Jesus is dependable. If we are dedicated and determined, he's dependable. You know, actually, those three words are the three words that Fox 5 News uses: dedicated, determined, dependable. I thought about that when I was writing this out. I said, I like that. I like that. Jesus sees our dedication as he saw theirs. Jesus knew their determination as he knew theirs. Here comes the man, and God touches him. He's dependable. He sees our faith, and he inserts himself in our life. And so again, Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must first believe that he is God, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so he's dependable. He sees our faith tonight. What are you wrestling with? Just keep being dedicated to whatever you have to do. What are you wrestling with? Just keep being determined. Go that second mile. I guarantee you, Jesus is dependable. He will see it. He will see your faith. Let me mention a third thing. Not only Jesus sympathizing, that's part of his active ministry. Jesus seeing, part of his active ministry. But then number three, Jesus standing, part of his active ministry. Now we're going to jump back to Mark 10. Mark 10. Verse number 46 through 52, the story of blind Bartimaeus. We see Jesus' active ministry here still to this day. Bartimaeus got Jesus' attention and he stood still. He was in motion, but he stopped. All right? Let's see here. Verse number 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. So Jesus and an entourage is passing by. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Verse number 49 says, and Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good cheer, comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Jesus, there's a picture of him in his active ministry, standing still. I mean, he was on his way somewhere. But blind Bartimaeus got his attention. Jesus stood still because blind Bartimaeus wanted his life to change. He was sick and tired of being sick and tired. He was sick and tired of not being able to see. And so when he heard Jesus was passing by, he cried out for help, and it got the attention for Jesus. Can I say that you can get his attention? Jesus, you can cause Jesus to stand still. You can get his attention. Yeah, Jesus, he is active and he is working and he is doing many things. He's helping this one. He's helping that one. Interceding here. Pulling all these things together, together and as part of his plan. But in the midst of all of that, Jesus will... What was that? I mean, Jesus is working straightway, forthwith, immediately. But he's not too busy to say, did you call me, child? Do you need me? Jesus stood still. You may feel like he's too busy for you tonight. You may feel like he's unaware of your situation tonight. But Jesus will turn his head your way. He will turn his head your way. He will look unto you. He will help you. You can stop Jesus in his tracks tonight. Verse number 46. We have the blind begging. We just read that. And then in verse number 47, we have the blind beggar believing. Verse 47. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." So he was blind, he was begging, he was believing. And I kind of feel like that blind Bartimaeus felt like this might be his last opportunity. I say that because he says, "And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.'" Connecting him to his kingship. Connecting him to the lineage. Connecting him to his messiahship. You see, Bartimaeus knew who Jesus was and what he was coming to do. And Jesus was passing by and he was making his way soon enough to the cross. And so blind Bartimaeus said, "Hey, wait, Jesus, have mercy on me." And the people in the community said, "Be quiet, man. You sound like a fool." He said, and the Bible says that he much more louder, he calleth unto him a great deal louder, "Jesus, I don't care what y'all say. I need help." I think sometimes the reason why we don't have some at the altar, or why we have a lot of Christians who are hurting, let me just say, there's a lot of Christians who are hurting that seemingly are never helped, is because they haven't truly cried out. Maybe you have truly cried out, and God is testing your faith, but he can still see your faith. Because that's what the Bible says in verse 52. "And Jesus said unto him, 'Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.'" He believed it was his last opportunity. Listen, Jesus is passing by tonight. He is here. Like the song that we sang, he is here. All right, Jesus is passing by tonight. Jesus is here tonight. The church is still here in body. We haven't been raptured yet. As long as we haven't been raptured yet, Jesus is still passing by. You might want to take advantage of that and call out to him. And don't worry about being embarrassed, because it gets Jesus' attention when you cry louder. Hey, listen, there's times in church when the Lord speaks to me, and I just don't care. I fought this thing for a number of years about caring what people think when I worship, when I preach. I mean, I went through this thing for a number of years, like, well, if I get excited, they're going to think I'm just trying to be excited. And if I get, you know, if I shout, they're going to think that I'm just trying to put on a show. I got to a place where I don't care what they think. Amen. Listen, I was a sinner dead on my way to hell. I tried every drug. Y'all know the story. I tried it all. And so I go back to that. I don't care what people think. I know what Jesus saved me from. I know what he can do. And if it embarrasses anybody for me to shout or preach my glasses off my face, whatever, I don't care. I just don't care. And I'm still learning that, though, today, to not care. To know that God has made me his own certain way. And he allowed me to go through what I went through in my previous life before Christ, because it plays a big role in me now as a minister. You know, it gives me firepower. It helps me connect. I told Lily, I said, "Honey, every time you get up there to sing, it's about connecting. It's listen, it doesn't matter how great you sound. I would rather hear somebody sing that's not so great who has a heart full of Jesus than somebody trying to try out for, you know, a singing audition. We don't want no entertainers. I mean, it's a plus when they sound great. I said, "Lily, when you get up there on that stage and you sing, there are people in that church that are hurting. There are people in that church that came to church by their own free will, and they wanted to hear something encouraging. They wanted to be touched. I said, girl, you have been through some things in your little short life. You know what it's like to be bullied. You know what it's like to just go through certain experiences. You've had your heart crushed. You've had all these things. When you get up to sing, you rear back with a heart full of God and sing. Don't care what anybody thinks. And I want to tell you, I've seen that girl do that a couple times. She's getting there. She's getting there. And it takes time to get there. Any music player, any singer, any person that ministers in any way will tell you it takes time to get to a place where you can channel your hurt to help others. But oh, happy day when you get there. Brother Ceylon, you've been channeling your life experiences for how many years in that Sunday school? 68? 68 years he's been channeling his inner Ceylon to everybody. Been channeling God and how God has worked in his life. Brother Don Nettles, you've been teaching Sunday school a long time. Others? 50 at least? Brother Jeff playing music and ministering to young people. I mean, we could mention something out of everybody's life. God has given everybody a ministry. It isn't always behind a pulpit or behind a microphone singing, but God allows things to happen in life so that he can soften our hearts and use our experience to serve him. And so every time that Lily sings, now I ask her to sing, I say loud and proud. It doesn't matter who walks in the room. It just does not matter. You get up there with your experience and a heart full of God and wanting more than anything, wanting to connect to a heart. And once there's that connection, there's ministry. Jesus is active in ministry, and he sympathizes with us. He sees our faith. We can stop him in his tracks. And Jesus ministers to us so that we can minister to others. He don't just get us through a hard time so that we can get back on the couch and join our TV shows. Although I enjoy doing that when I can. But he intervenes and he sends us through things so we can have some experience. And so that when it comes time to connect with somebody, buddy, we can rear back and we say, I know what it's like, Frank. I know what it's like. I know what it's like. You'll make it. You'll get there. If he came through for me, he'll come through for you. Let's minister tonight. How about it? We got a Sunday coming up. Let's come in this place ready to pour out. Let's confuse the devil. The devil already knows what's going to happen. Yeah, they're going to come. That silly Halloween thing tonight. Across the street. Again, no offense if Joe, my neighbor's watching. Ha, 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 them red eyes. You're going down. You ain't going to make it. I'm telling you, that's what he was saying. It's a Halloween thing. That's what the devil was saying to all of us about Calvary. Oh, yeah, I know what y'all do. Y'all go to church, sing your little songs. You know what that is, don't you? That's a miniature violin. Brother Berman and Miss Carol, I used to spend some time with them, and we outside of church. One time we went to Home Depot, and they were looking for a refrigerator. And Miss Carol was saying, "Well, Berman this and Berman that," and Brother Berman went like this. Can't y'all see him doing that? He said, "You know what that is, don't you, Justin?" I said, "What?" He said, "That's the world's smallest violin, playing to Carol." The devil, in so many ways, he's like, oh, go ahead, have your little church, you know, sing your little songs, put a buck in the plate, go home and come back and do it again. You'll be just as miserable tonight as you were when you went on Sunday morning. And Wednesday night, I doubt you even show up Wednesday night. That's what the devil's doing. But you know what? God has called us to minister, not just preachers and pastors, but every child of God. We have the ministry of reconciliation. So let us get to ministering. Amen. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you for what you've done tonight, God. I pray, Lord, that you would just apply it to all of our hearts. Oh, Lord, apply it to our hearts, Lord. Help us, Lord, just think on these truths, God, how these truths can get us through a very bad day. Growing up spiritually is so hard. There's the pruning times and there's the fruit times. We all like the fruit times, but not the prune times. But we need the prune times to get to the fruit times. Help us be dedicated, determined. We know you're dependable through the process. We love you so much, Lord. I pray that you would just be with us, keep us safe as we go our separate ways, and let us come back Sunday morning looking for Jesus to be in the house like this story. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. All right. Anything to mention before we close? Thank you so much for being so attentive tonight. Ma'am? That's right. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Hey, be elegant as an elephant. It don't even matter, does it? It sure does. You know, that's what the Lord is wanting here in all of His churches. He's wanting somebody to praise Him. He's wanting somebody to testify. He's wanting somebody to trust Him because He is fully aware of what we're doing. Amen. Yes, He does. Hey. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Thank you for that. Lasandra, you have a hand up?
Can you ever lose your faith because of other people?
You can't lose your salvation.
What about your faith?
You might be able to lose your faith in other people. Yeah. You can be disappointed in people, but you can't lose your faith. Now, once you're saved, you're saved. But
okay.
But it's part of the growing process.
Yeah.
That's why His love is complete. He does not judge us.
That's right. That's right. Thank you for asking, buddy.
You're welcome.
Anybody else? Yes. Oh, yeah.
For presidential speeches.
Yeah.
Seems like they were made fun of.
Oh, yeah. But sure.
I just think it's terrible our country is.
Yeah.
Seems to be turning against religion rather than for it.
For it, yeah. Yeah.
The Constitution was built on the Bible.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yep. That's exactly right. Thank you, Frank, for saying that. That's true.
Respect.
Yep. Right. Right. That's right. I mean, it's going to get nasty, this political race. I mean, it's near. We ain't got long before the actual, you know, election itself. So, less than 2 weeks. So, if you haven't voted, vote. And vote with conviction. Thank you for that. Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We got to. Yep. Mm-hmm. All right. If that's all, you're at liberty to go. Have a blessed evening.